life. Sometimes so much is compressed into such a little word. At Cedarville University, students experience both the joys and challenges of life while focusing on all that college has to offer. Listen along with our host, Allie Kinner, as we take a deep dive into those life experiences with four Cedarville students. Eliana, Andrew, and Aspen continue their 1,000 days as a sophomore, junior, and senior, while Chloe joins them as our new freshman. Romans 8:28 reminds us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. This is 1,000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast.
Andrew, welcome back to 1,000 Days. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So let's just overview, like, how have the last 2 weeks been?
What's been going on? They've been fine. Not a whole lot has been going on, in all honesty. It's just become exam season once again.
Yeah.
You know, I wish my classes were split into midterms and then finals, but sadly, that's not how it's worked out. A lot of my classes, a lot of the teachers especially, really, really love three exams for some awful reason.
Yeah.
So it's exam season once again, right after fall break.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So what do exams look like for you? Because like you said, you have three exams. You don't have like midterm and then exam.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like for you in the economics world?
So basically, there's a lot of trade-offs that I have to make. So for example, I have a test at 4 p.m. on Monday, which that's the day we're recording this. I have a test right after we finish recording. That's intercultural communication.
Wonderful.
I've had to make a lot of trade-offs where I spend less time with friends, spend less time doing things I'd want to in order to be ready for this exam.
Yeah.
But this time around, I don't have two exams on the same day back to back. Thank God. They're more staggered throughout the week. But that also comes with its little trade-offs because I can't just sit down and cram the night before or 2 nights before. I have to continuously be studying this week. So that's, ironically, a lot more time that I have to spend studying as opposed to having many exams on one day.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. Because we are coming off of exam season for everybody else, or we're gearing up for the last, you know, chunk of the semester, Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yes.
They're coming up. We're all super excited. Yes. The tree is going up as we speak. So tell me about it. Like, what are your plans? What are you looking forward to? Like, all that.
So, over Christmas and fall break, I just plan on going back to New Mexico where my mom lives and spending those weeks with her. Thanksgiving, we're not doing a whole lot, not a big Thanksgiving. We're just having the normal Thanksgiving lunch for us. And that's pretty much it for that. Christmas, I actually don't know what Christmas fully looks like at this point in time.
Yeah.
I may be starting some classes earlier because I have a very hectic schedule. So that'll be something if they do start early, but God will provide no matter what.
Yeah. And like I kind of mentioned it, but Christmas is coming to campus.
Yes.
I personally love campus Christmas, but I know I've heard mixed reviews. So what do you think about campus Christmas? Like, do you love it? Do you hate it? Like, what do you think?
I don't really have much of an opinion on campus Christmas because I don't really participate in it. This is my second year of being on campus, and last year I didn't really do a whole lot, in all honesty. Like, I would like to say I participated some, but I honestly didn't. The most I did was see the tree get lit, and apart from that, I did nothing else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I will say to anybody out there, it's kind of fun. You should try it out. But registration, like you said, you might be starting a few classes early. First of all, what does that look like? Because I didn't know you could start classes early.
Oh, so that's not through Cedarville.
Basically,
I have a ongoing beef with the registrar and different teachers, so to speak. It's not really beef. It's just I try to do a lot of things that aren't necessarily feasible.
Yeah.
Like, I take the Kanye West approach where I set my mind to it and I don't back down.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch on anything else about Kanye because that can get really bad. But
controversial.
Yes, very controversial. But I do like his mindset where he believes he can do a lot of things. Basically, I would be taking classes from different colleges. So I got approved to take statistics from Grand Canyon University earlier today. I also sent in a transient study request for international business through Liberty because one of the classes I needed to take, I talked about this last episode. Basically, seniors waiting to the last semester to take it upsets me greatly. But, you know, I asked the teacher if I could be let in. She told me very bluntly that they prioritize graduating seniors because you know, they wait until the last semester. Mm-hmm. And she also told me that basically it's not the end of the world, even though this class was the difference between, like, I think 17 to 20 credit hours for me.
Whoa.
So that's been hectic. God provides, though. I've been able to move around my schedule a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank God for my advisor. He doesn't actually try and work his way into that schedule. He knows that I have a plan. He knows that I have the ambition and the willingness to work. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of lets me do whatever I want.
No, that's great. And where you are taking so many, because, like, mm-hmm. what are you at? Like, two majors?
Three
majors. Mm-hmm. And then how many minors? Five.
Mm-hmm.
So with registration, how does that look like? Like, how many credit hours are you taking, like, per semester, would you say?
So per semester, it's different. I know the numbers off the top of my head a little bit. This upcoming semester, 21 about it'll be. Then the next one will be about, I want to say, 17 to 19, then afterwards 18, and then 17, then 16. Originally, I had it set up to where it'd be about 16 to 17 per semester, but that hasn't worked out because people do not like working with my schedules. But God will provide. He always does. He provided through the summer at 29 and a half. He'll provide for 21 or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. I do not know how you balance it all, but, you know, good on you, because that's crazy.
I'm not the smartest. I'm also not the most social, but God has blessed me with the willingness and the ambition to work very hard.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then kind of, like, changing topics completely. So Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday is election day, and you had kind of mentioned in your journal that you are actively researching for the upcoming election.
Yes.
So just, you don't have to delve deep into it, because I know it's a touchy topic with some people, but mm-hmm. what, like, how are you preparing for this election? Why do you think it's important to go vote? Just stuff like that. Like, what's your view on it?
Well, I think it's important to vote, especially in the United States, because people died for it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you like the two primary candidates, there are third, fourth, fifth parties that you can vote for. And even if someone tells you you wasted your vote, it's your vote.
Mm-hmm.
You picked someone else to go vote for. You are using the right that people died for you to have. And if you don't use it, I feel that is a waste. It is just a waste of those people's sacrifice, and it's doing those people a dishonor. Now, in regards to researching, I've already early voted.
Yep.
So that doesn't impact me research-wise, who I'm going to pick. I already knew who I was going to pick. Basically, that just looks like going into the different possibilities of the two candidates
mm-hmm.
who are pretty much running, you know? They're very different people. They run on very different things. They both run on price controls, which I do not like from an economic standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like either of the candidates, but I feel like that's a very common story.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I'm going to say about that, because that, as you said, is a very touchy subject, and I don't really want to ruffle feathers.
Yeah, no, that's fair. To a happy subject, which we love. So the Lakers.
Oh, this isn't a happy subject.
What?
No, I love the Lakers, but they're awful. They are awful. With my roommate Noah, we watch their games. They have a game tonight against the Detroit Pistons. I am praying to God that they win. They are fourth or fifth in the West currently as we speak, but they're only like seven games played.
Yep.
It's too early to tell anything. They have like four players that actually do stuff. They're consistently seventh, I think, in the West.
Yeah.
Last year, they lost 4-1 to Denver in the playoffs, first round. I love the Lakers, but they are not good. You cannot accuse me of being a bandwagon, because they are absolutely awful. They are not good enough to get, well, I guess, any normal draft picks, and they're also not bad enough to get any really, really good draft picks. They're just kind of stuck in the middle.
Yeah. So why are you keeping up with them then?
Because the Lakers are my team. Before I ever even liked basketball, the Lakers were the people that I knew about. They were the people that I kept up with. They were the team that I had known about forever, because my family had spent a lot of time in California, particularly SoCal. So the Lakers were always just kind of on my heart. And when I actually started following and playing basketball, that just kind of worked its way into the team that I follow. On the East Coast, on the other hand, I like the Celtics. Celtics are great. They won the finals last year.
Mm-hmm.
I followed them not as close as the Lakers, because the Lakers are my favorite. They're a close second. But it's nice to be able to look at the West and be able to kind of predict how games will go.
Yep.
Because basically, if the team's rated above the Lakers, they're not going to win, sadly.
Yeah. Like you said, Lakers, they're kind of like in the middle. They're like they're just there. If you had to pick a team that you were like, this is like the best team, like by far, like, personal opinion aside, who would you be like, yeah, I'm back in this team?
Celtics? Celtics. They won finals last year, as I said. They're also predicted to do really well this year. I don't see why they wouldn't do well. They have a very strong, I guess, initial five people on the court.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see, though, because, of course, there's only seven games been played. There's 80-something games, I believe, in a regular season.
Yeah.
There's still a long way to go until the finals, but I'd have to say the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, when you were getting into basketball, like, you played basketball, all the things. So Cedar Hill basketball season is coming up. How do you feel about it? Are you excited? Are you going to go to games? Are you going to just be like a...
Look,
yeah, you.
I would like to go to games. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if I have the time to do so.
Oh, yeah.
And I also can't really get into college basketball.
That's fair.
I've tried. It's a different game. It's more competitive than professional basketball, but I struggle to get into college basketball.
Yeah.
It's just a personal thing. I'll probably will end up going to a couple games.
Yeah.
But apart from that, we'll have to see where my loyalty lies, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, so we're coming up on breaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every single time we talk, it's always like we have some sort of break coming up. Like we can see a break in the distance. So with the next break coming up, do you feel like you're ready to have a break? Or are you just kind of like, let me just plow through the semester and get it done?
You know, I feel like I'm always ready to have a break, but I also need to remind myself that I also need to enjoy the moment, because it is really easy to say, okay, here's a break, three more weeks, here's another break, two more, here's another break, and then we're done, and so on and so forth. But, you know, personally, in my own walk with God, I've needed to remind myself to just slow down and enjoy the moment sometimes, because it can be really easy to get caught up in what you're doing or in what's upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to actually remember to enjoy the moment that God has placed you in, because you will never be in that moment again, you know?
And how are you finding ways to kind of stay in the moment and do all of that whilst also plowing forward in the semester?
Tying it back into what I said about studying for basically, I guess, midterms 2.0 for me. It's all about trade-offs. And I force myself to take breaks. And I force myself to go do things with friends, because they may not be the most valuable things I could be doing with my time.
Yeah.
But they are the most impactful, and they're the things that I'll remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee I won't remember this test I have to take today, 2 weeks from now. I'll remember the events that I went to with my friends more than I will the actual material that I have to get quizzed over, especially if I don't care about it, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I ask this either every other episode or just whenever I feel like it. But you've kind of mentioned it earlier, but how do you see God working in your life in this time of just midterms 2.0 and all the chaos that goes along with it?
He's working. He's there. This isn't a case of Esther anymore where he's just in the background. He has made himself very evident, especially in the courses that I'm taking.
Yeah.
For example, I was not expecting to be actually admitted to take statistics from Grand Canyon University, but I'm very thankful that God has opened that door. I just checked my watch now because I was seeing if I got something back from international business.
Yeah.
Nothing yet. I'm praying that God allows that to happen, because I'm going to be honest with you, if he does do that, he is opening a door that I never expected to be open.
Yeah.
You know, I had that course planned, I think, for the spring, not even the spring, the fall of 2026.
Wow.
And I wasn't going to touch that course until then. And just because I got that email this morning, it encouraged me to go back and look at courses that I could possibly take from other schools.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, a lot of these courses were humanities related. So, for example, East Asian literature, politics and history of East Asia, things like that.
Yeah.
That would be more likely to be allowed from other universities. Those were things that I went back and looked at. But God, it seems to be guiding the path that I will be taking into separate courses in separate institutions. And that is something that, you know, I'd like to especially highlight to people who have not considered taking courses from other institutions. Because especially if you choose to get a master's degree, I would highly suggest getting it from another institution than Cedarville, because it's another way of thinking that you may not have been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And it is incredibly valuable to learn more about God's creation and to learn how to better steward what he has gifted you with.
Yeah, that's super great.
Mm-hmm.
And And I feel like we've mentioned this before, but Cedar Hill isn't like other universities. We come at everything with a biblical worldview. So when you are looking at other universities, how does the biblical worldview mindset of Cedar Hill kind of affect the way that you learn through other institutions?
Mainly, it promotes more of an analytical view. So I mainly look at Christian institutions because I don't want to go up to bat against a professor who tells me my beliefs are wrong.
Yeah.
Did that for a year in another country. I don't really feel like doing it again if I could control it.
Yeah.
If God leads me to that situation, I'll do it. But when I have to take courses with a non-Christian institution, I take you through an analytical view and I interpret what I am doing through the lens of Scripture.
Yeah.
Now, if something is asking me to do something against Scripture, I bring that concern up to the teacher and I express that I would not want to do an assignment due to a religious limitation, and I ask how I can do something differently.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't accommodate that, that's an institutional issue that can be tackled differently.
Yeah.
But normally teachers do accommodate for that. So for example, I remember in Japan, an assignment we had to do was ask pretty much about like drinking culture, just to learn about the language and how it works with different social events, because it is different.
Yeah.
Japanese is strange like that. And I had to express to teachers that I wasn't comfortable with that. So they actually let me pass on that assignment because of that religious barrier. So that, to tie it back into the question, that's mainly what I would do, is approach it through an analytical view, and I would apply the Bible in places that it needs to be applied.
Yeah.
Of course, it needs to be applied everywhere, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And would you say those situations give you an opportunity to share your faith and to witness to people, or would you say that that's just kind of how it is, you know?
It's an opportunity to witness, because every time you go to bat for Christ, I feel like it's a chance to witness and a chance to show why you believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's super cool. And we are called to be set apart, so I think it's really cool that we're given those opportunities, and I feel like personally Cedarville's prepared me really well, and I can see that Cedarville's been preparing you really well with that biblical worldview. And it's just super cool to see.
Yes.
And then also, just because it's on my mind, last episode, the suitcase situation.
Yes.
Where are we at with that?
No update really yet. It's going to get shipped back to me. Well, I guess that is an update.
That is an update.
It is going to get shipped to Cedarville. I have no idea when.
Yeah.
I need my clothes, in all honesty. I hate doing laundry.
Yeah.
And I have to do it more often now. God will provide, but I hate doing laundry, so it should be here hopefully next week at the latest.
Yeah.
But
I guess
we can keep this going.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to hear that the suitcase is going to be on the way soon.
Yes, thank God.
But that is all that we have for today. So thank you for joining me and for just chatting with me and kind of giving me a new lens on what it means to like take all these different courses and then taking classes elsewhere and like all of that stuff. So that's super cool.
But
thank you for coming, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
Before you go, I hope you enjoyed this episode of 1000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast. If you liked it, you can follow us on Instagram and like our Facebook page. You can also go to our website, resoundradio.com, where you can listen to Resound's music broadcast, more episodes of 1000 Days, and view the journal entry from today's episode. This episode was produced by Nolan Ebert, audio engineered by Olivia Price, and edited by Josh Kenev.